There are a lot of signs we look to when the seasons roll from one to the next. One of the things that changes with the Mercury dropping, for those of us who can or choose to partake, are the styles of beer. Especially with the explosion of craft beer, it seems like there are more and more specific brews for each season. Jessica Jones is co-owner and brewer for Giant Jones Brewing Company in Madison. Jessica, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
And Robin Shepherd is a regional beer writer and contributor to Isthmus, the Madison Weekly. He's an associate professor in the UW-Madison Department of Life Sciences. Robin, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you, Jessica, as a brewer yourself, look forward to coming up with kind of seasonal brews?
Sure. I mean, we rotate everything except for our double IPA through the seasons, which provides variety in what we're producing, what choices I'm making in the brew house, what we're ordering. And it just gives me something to look forward to, of something different.
I guess flipping that around, do you feel like you have any choice but to come up with different seasonals? It seems like the beer fans really expect this nowadays.
Oh, sure. I mean, people really want something new all the time, but people also still want what they know and remember. So it's balancing those two things of both the what's new and what do we love. So,
Robin, we've talked about the craft brew explosion a lot of times over the years. Do you see more and more attention paid to seasonal brews?
Oh, yes. There's a certain group of beer hunters out there that crave that seasonal approach. There was a survey last year by the Craft Brewers Association that said, you know, the number one style that we all love are hoppy beers. But the number two in that is seasonals. And that kind of is what Jessica was talking about. The seasonal gives us an opportunity to do that beer hunting, that searching, that, you know, that matching it up a little bit with the weather outside, the sky conditions, gives you a little bit of a chance to shake things up through the year.
Jessica, as a brewer, and I'm guessing a beer fan yourself, if you've gone into the business, what to you personally says winter in a beer?
Pushing towards toasty notes. I play with roast all year round because it plays just like cold brew in the summer or is comforting in the winter. But when I'm playing with particularly toasty or biscuity things, so it's really English beers. The strong English beers is what I look for at this point.
What's at the top of your list as it gets cold, Robin?
Well, I'm looking at the leaves. I'm thinking I want something with a little bit more color in it. I want something just with a little bit more sweetness to it. Maybe a little bit more alcohol, too. Fall is a great time to begin to ease into the even bigger beers that we think of in winter, where they're more winter warmer kinds of things. So I'm looking at the colors. I'm looking at a little bit more body and a little bit more sweetness.
Well, we had some tastings here. Some of my colleagues at WPR got together. Want to give a listen to one of the first ones now, a Scotch ale. Our tasting example here is the Nuglaris Snowshoe.
What's going to get you through the winter?
All right, it is our beer tasting at an undisclosed location. Our theme this time is winter beers, strong beers. Tim, you're saying beers that can, you know, boost our winter soul. That was the theme here.
That's what I'm going
winter
for,
solstice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. What do we got? You can introduce the beers here.
Okay,
Tim.
So we're going to start with Nuglaris's Snowshoe.
Yeah, let's pour those up.
We'll pour a little bit for everybody.
We've got pretzels. Should
Thank
we eat all
you.
The pretzels before anybody tastes beer? Okay, now everybody's tasting the Nuglaris Snowshoe Ale.
I'm getting a lot of malt up front.
Mm-hmm. It's bitter, but then it dissipates quickly.
I think it has a nice caramely finish. It starts off a little more bitter, but then it sweetens as it goes on.
What's the excitement level here? I don't feel a lot of buzz in the room right
Not
now.
Not a lot of buzz, no.
I think it's a good solid beer. I mean, I'm struggling.
It's a drinking beer?
Yeah.
Right, like you could hand this to somebody after they said they wanted a beer, and I think most people would be able to drink it.
They would identify this as a beer.
Mm-hmm.
Check.
Yeah.
Scotch ale. Talk to us a little bit about what a Scotch ale is, Jessica.
Sure. Well, I mean, there's Scottish ales and there's Scotch ales. Scotch ales are very strong ones, and Scottish ales are the 3 to 7% Scottish style beers, driven mostly by malt. Toasty, maybe just hinting at some darker roast things, but bitterness is very low. They're just gentle, easy things to give you a hug.
Robin, do you have any favorites in this category, either Scotch or Scottish?
Well, I'm a fan of the beer that you just tasted, actually. That's one of Nuglaris's oldest beers. It's been around since the mid-1990s. I think it probably airs more into the amber Irish ale category than the Scotch ale. It's exactly what they talked about. It's a beer that's it's been around a while. It's like an old friend. It's not going to be something that's going to, you know, push your taste buds at all. It's just there, and it's just a nice, non-offensive beer that usually has redeeming qualities for about any drinker.
Yeah.
We're talking about great beers for the winter season. Jessica Jones is with us from Giant Jones Brewing Company and Robin Shepherd from Isthmus Weekly Newspaper in Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite winter seasonal beer? What is it? Do you have a question for our guest experts about what makes a good winter seasonal beer? Do you need a recommendation maybe for the Thanksgiving table? I don't know. 800-642-1234 is the number. Again, 800-642-1234. I want to move on now to the Belgian ales and give a listen to our gang here with another tasting. We're getting to Belgian ales.
Clear your pretzel.
Yeah. Pretzels. So the next one we're doing is Three Sheeps. This is out of Sheboygan, and their beer is called Veneration. It's a Belgian-style quad with figs, molasses, aged in rye whiskey barrels. So a lot happening here. We'll go ahead and pour a little bit out.
Thank you.
The color, this one's pretty.
You can smell the figs.
While you're tasting, this is Three Sheeps Brewing Veneration Ale. Belgian Ale.
Wow. I think this is like a two-sipper. You take two sips and then grab a different beer.
Wow. Uh-oh. 13.2% alcohol by volume, I'll point out.
Well, you can taste it.
Uh-huh. Right. So for Bill, this is a fighting beer. Any other more positive responses?
If you like rye whiskey, which I do, this is good. It tastes a lot like whiskey, and the figs even give it a little bit of a sort of a winey aroma. So I like it quite a bit.
I feel like this would knock you down if you had more than one and a half, and you'd probably get very sleepy. But it's tasty. I like the rye flavor, too. I like that it was in rye whiskey barrels. You can taste it.
Very sweet, though, too.
Like, I definitely think about this as, like, a Christmas time, like, really rich, sweet, aromatic.
Leave out for Santa.
Leave out for Santa. That's right.
Need more pretzels.
Yeah, and I'll warn people, a running theme will be Bill Martin's, I think, having strong opinions about some of these beers as we go. So 13.2, I think I said alcohol by volume. Yep. That's high, right, in our beer world.
That's even higher than anything I make at Giant Jones, and I just make big beers.
How typical is this to see something with that high an alcohol volume content?
Well, that beer fits into the Belgian quadruple category, mm-hmm. and those beers, I mean, characteristically are going to be 8% above, and so it's not uncommon to find one in the 10% range. That particular beer began about 3 years ago, and it was a bomber-only beer, and Bomber would be a 22-ounce bottle.
Okay.
And so they moved it over into the smaller 12-ounce bottles because there was a big following for that beer. I think the description about that's a great table beer or a dessert beer for Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. those rich, sweet qualities, right, Jessica, with the plum and the raisins and the figs.
Yeah, I mean, they put that next to pecan pie.
Oh, my land.
Belgian quad, what does the quad part of that mean?
There's a style system that was really just developed by a marketing department, but
okay.
doubles, triples, and then quads were introduced only just a decade or so ago. But they're a stronger version of a double.
Okay.
And usually most of that's coming from carameled sugars rather than malts.
And in the case of this beer, it gets 5 months of aging in rye whiskey barrels. So not only do you have that wonderful sweetness and alcohol from the fermentable sugars, then you get a little bit of that residual boozy spiritness that really warms things up.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Ryan is with us in Eau Claire. Ryan, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to ask about, Ryan?
Is anybody going to pick up the slack for Shock Top canceling the pretzel wheat? And I'll take my comments off the air.
Shock Top pretzel wheat? Either of you familiar with that one?
Shock Top is a Budweiser brand. They're all based on wit beers. I haven't had that exact beer, but if you're looking for that sort of thing, a wit beer, WIT, it's a Belgian-style wheat beer, would be the thing to look for, particularly from your local brewer.
And I usually, Robin, hear people talk about that kind of beer more in the summer. Is that right?
Well, that would be where I would put it. But, you know, seasons are kind of what you define as
yeah,
a beer drinker,
fair.
Right? Jessica will tell you that one of her best-selling beers, the Porter, is sold in the summer, but you might look at it thinking it's dark. It might be something I'd put in the fall, but a porter is a great beer any time of the year.
Yeah. I mean, how much cold brew coffee do you drink in July? You know, drink a porter, same thing.
I ice my coffee all year round. We're talking to brewer Jessica Jones from Giant Jones Brewing and beer writer Robin Shepherd, who contributes to Isthmus, the Madison Weekly paper. We're talking about winter beers, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you reach for when the temperatures go down in the winter? What's a good snowy season beer? Maybe a good beer for holidays. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you have a question about these kind of beers, our guests probably have some form of answer for you. 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. Let's bring on another caller. George is with us from Falls Church, Virginia. George, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, George?
Well, I just really wanted to express my appreciation for you guys talking about these winter-style beers. You know, winter warmers, Doppelbock, barley wines. These are some of my favorite styles of beer, and frankly, I think it's a shame that we only get to have them in the winter. So I guess my question would be, what would it take to see more of these styles on the shelves year-round?
Oh, interesting, George. Thanks for the call. Jessica, what do you think?
That's what my brewery does. We make these big styles all year round. We have a few that are a bit lighter that we do in the summertime, but you'll always find something like barley wine or something in the amber field at our brewery, and we always have a big stout or a big porter. So it's happening just as ways to differentiate breweries from one another.
Is this something you see happen often, Robin?
Well, yes. I mean, I think there's certainly a niche area, and maybe it's more than just a niche for larger, big formatted beers like that. But I mean, we also need to kind of point out that one of the hottest selling drinks right now are the seltzers, which goes the other way completely. You know, they're the lighter, next to water kind of things, and there's a huge market for those that are in a growing sense of the market share.
Let's go back to our tasting crew. We've got the stout and porter category. What makes them good for winter? And this will be one that hits close to home for at least one of our guests, I think.
All right, ready to move on to another.
So the next one, number three. This is Giant Jones out of Madison. It's their Grand Stout. We're going to have her talk about this beer. I don't know a ton about it other than it's fairly new in their lineup, and people are pretty excited about it.
Okay, let's pour it out.
Whoa, that
very dark.
Is
that looks like,
thick.
That looks like chocolate syrup.
It really does.
Very dark.
I don't want chocolate syrup. That's Giant good. Jones Grand Stout is what we're trying.
Right? So a lot of, like, roast.
I was going to say, it tastes really smoky. Mm-hmm.
It smells that way, too. It's almost a coffee
smell
that comes off of it.
Better than I thought it was going to be. When it came out of the bottle and I saw how dark it was, I was a little bit like, well, am I going to like this? But I think I could probably ride one bottle out.
Okay. What's your social setting? What's
horizons are expanding.
What's our social setting for this beer?
The Snowshoe might be more of a front porch beer. This is kind of a living room by the fire beer.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought it would be like a little bit more viscous.
I like that it has a heavy flavor, but not a thick, syrupy consistency. Mm-hmm. It goes down pretty easy, although it does have a big flavor.
That's a lot.
That sounds great.
Do you want to expand on that one, Jessica?
Sure. I'm just relieved anytime people don't despise my beer, right? I mean, especially with one of the tasters in the room as a critic.
You did not get to hear that previously, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so that I make really dry beers. I mean, Robin mentioned sweetness earlier. One of the things I look for is for beers to not have a lot of sweetness because it lets you taste the other flavor-active things that are happening. So that when they said, oh, there's a lot of flavor happening, but it's not that, you know, heavy viscous thing, and part of what they're noticing is just a lack of sugar because the yeast have consumed it.
Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, I think that's a good point. I mean, beers can be sticky, sweet, cloying. That's not necessarily a good thing in beers, whether it's a winter beer or a fall beer. I really like Jessica's beer from a standpoint of it's got a little bit of that coffee in it. It goes really well with desserts, I think. It's just phenomenal towards the end of the meal.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring on another caller now. Kurt is with us in Appleton. Kurt, hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. What do you got for us, Kurt?
I got a recommendation. I like out of Founders Brewery, they have a breakfast stout that I don't know all the adjectives that go with it, but it's like chocolate, oatmeal, 100 other different things. And I found that if you let it set for a little bit and head gets a little warmer, then you get all the you can taste all the different adjectives as it warms up a little bit.
Kurt, thanks so much for that. Warming up us or letting the stout warm up, I assume not on a stovetop, but that's going to let us taste more?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, temperature suppresses your perception of flavor, partly because things are just staying in solution, but you're also numbing your tongue. So most beer is going to be best 45, 50 degrees, just like red wine.
Huh. Do we typically drink beer at the right temperature, Robin?
Well, if you're from England, no, absolutely not. We Americans love their beer super carbonated and really cold. And we've just been sort of conditioned by advertising to do that. I think the idea of warming a beer, particularly one that sort of has a malt focus to it, you know, you just let that thing warm up very slowly. And you'll be surprised at the different layers. And it'll change as it continues to get a little warmer. It's a wonderful way to experience a stout or a porter or a barley wine. It's just to just let it sit there, swirl it maybe a little bit. Don't shake it, but just kind of swirl it gently. Let the aromas really, you know, come out of it as well.
Talking about winter beer with Jessica Jones from Giant Jones Brewing Company and Robin Shepherd, beer writer for the Isthmus newspaper in Madison. Let's go back to our tasting crew. You just said the magic word barley wine. That was our next tasting.
Our fourth beer is by Potosi, from Potosi. They're calling it the Grand Amber. It's a brandy barrel-aged barley wine. So, again, we've got a liquor barrel that they've aged it in. And so this one is going to be probably a bit more viscous.
Thank you.
I'm not loving how this smells, got to be honest.
I'll smell nice it. Golden red color.
Yeah, it is really
amber.
Pretty.
Oh, my gosh. So one, okay, give me that dump cup.
Oh wow! Okay,
put that one in there.
Just straight in.
Not a barley wine guy, I guess.
Bill's face right now is great.
Wow, I wasn't ready for that.
I'm gonna out myself a little bit. I don't typically like barley wines. I think that this is okay for a barley wine. It does have like a very boozy flavor that I don't always want in something that's supposed to be beer-like.
I think this has more heat than any of the others. Like my, just my mouth is like warm from like the alcohol and the hops. I mean, it's pretty hoppy.
What is the ABV, alcohol by volume?
Yeah, you know me. it's very small print. Is that 11.5? I think it's 11.5.
I love it.
I like the color. That's about where it's going to stop.
I enjoy that you can tell this was aged in a wood barrel. It tastes woody along with the wine flavor. Definitely sweet, one to have in moderation, but as someone who doesn't normally like barley wines, I think it's pretty good.
I think this would make a great gift. I would definitely give this to the beer snobs in my life. Like, you know, it seems like a special occasion beer that you would gift it.
All right, barley wine. Is it technically, I forget who let Bill in the room, is barley wine even beer technically?
Yes.
It is?
Yep, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. It has, so it's an old British style where the term came from. They were beers that were strong, so they rivaled wine in strength, and also historically they were aged in large wooden vats out in the brewery yard, and so 18th century, that's taking on some microbial things, plus the oxidation of those malts, you're getting these fruity flavors coming through. So,
yeah, this particular beer, I believe, is aged in brandy barrels.
Mm. Yep.
So that gives it an additional sweetness. Jester, you were kind of feeling funny about your beer and talking about it. This beer, I'm kind of feeling a little bit of remorse because I picked this as my beer of the year about 2 years ago.
Again,
so
everybody
I
but
agree
Bill
with
liked
them.
It. Everybody Bill liked it.
Right.
So I want to – we also tasted cider. I think we're not going to have time to listen to the crew. I want to give a listen to their verdict. The cider was a Brix cider from Mount Horeb. I think generally pretty favorable response on that. Let's listen to the overall verdict here.
Do we have a best in show? Anybody want to pick their favorite?
I like the snowshoe, the first one we did. That was good.
Slash is the only one you didn't not like. Am I right?
Yeah.
I'm with Bill on the snowshoe, but mostly because I like ambers and reds and malty things. So that was right up my alley.
I think the snowshoe, or kind of a surprise for me, the Potosi barley wine was really good, too.
I'm going to go hard in the paint on the cider. I think it's very, very nice and kind of more what I'm in the mood for, even though I really like darker beers on the whole.
I really liked Three Sheeps. It was just sort of like is unapologetic about. It's doing all the things. But I think it's doing them well.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
And then do you guys want to leave us with a recommendation for another great winter beer before we're out of time? Jessica, you want to go first?
The Sizer from Brix Cider is just amazing. Be a great thing at any point during your Thanksgiving table.
Fantastic. And Robin?
I'd have to go with just look around for a barley wine. I mean, I'm into that mode already. So they're a little harder to find, but Jessica's got one out there, and there are a handful of other breweries that do them.
Well, we're out of time. That flew on by. Thank you both so much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
We're talking to Jessica Jones, co-owner and brewer for Giant Jones Brewing Company in Madison, and Robin Shepherd, regional beer writer and contributor to Isthmus Newspaper in Madison. You can keep sharing your favorite winter beers. Tweet us at Central Time WPR.